us all kind of pumped up and getting ready to go here. We're going to try that next week, a little exercise program. How's that? See if you guys can jump and get down real low. But we'll have some assistance if you need it. Yeah, there you go. We might all get to the floor and just kind of stay there. We'll bring in lunch for later and bring in some refreshments. But anyway, hey, good message. Thank you, Terry, and for bringing that to us. And the object lesson with the little dog. And I thought she was going to say, I've got a present for all you guys. It's a rescue dog for each one of you. So, oh my. Thank you, Father. So today, I want to talk to you a little bit about carrying a load. Anybody here carrying a load? Does some of your loads seem like this? Some of you had a really hard week, let me tell you. And not only just what you had on top or, you know, inside your pack, you decided, hey, I can go up. You know, look at that. I can take this thing up higher. And I think he said, well, you know what? If we hook something to the back, I can even haul more stuff. You know, that's our life. We get into that. And some of that stuff, you know what, may not even be all of my stuff. Anybody been hauling stuff for other people? If you got a pickup truck or a trailer, people know you. You're a favorite person. But, you know, we can look at this and really draw an understanding of what life is about in our lives and what we put on ourselves. And we're not going to focus on that because I think we understand this pretty good. I don't have to teach anybody or share with anything to anybody about how you can haul more stuff. We all are good at that. But here's what we need to look at. We need to understand what Jesus is telling us. Understand that He is there to help us. And this verse here is in, we would find that in Matthew 11, 28, 30. So Matthew 11, 28, 30. It says this as you're getting there. In the beginning of that particular area of Scripture, okay, Matthew 11, in verse 25, the heading above my Bible says this, Jesus gives true rest. So if Jesus is giving us true rest, why are we not, what? Resting. Why are we always going? Why are we always taking on burdens? And really, it turns out to be those type of things. And I want to look at it a little bit today in regards to that. But it says this in 11:29. Let's go to 28. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle or meek, and I'm lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn from who? Who are we to learn from? Don't learn from your pastor. You know, don't learn to a Sunday school teacher. Don't learn from somebody out there. He's telling us, he's saying, you need to learn from me. And so as we get into this scripture, if I were to offer to anyone that I saw struggling, anybody that's having difficulty, or they're looking like they've had the weight of the world on their shoulders, and today in this day and age, you can look around and see a lot of people are just carrying a lot of stuff. And sometimes it's like you're like a magnet. Anybody feel like a magnet? And all that stuff just kind of goes zoop. And you're going, where did this come from? How did this get here? Sometimes it's well-meaning friends because they think that you've got strong shoulders. Sometimes they're well-meaning friends because they go, well, I know so-and-so. He's a Christian. He'll handle it. He'll take it or she'll take it to prayer for to God. And that's all well and good, but sometimes it does get a little overwhelming for ourselves. But they see people that have the weight of the world on their shoulders, and they're looking for a way out of that lifestyle. How can I get rid of all of this burden? How can I get rid of this weight? How can I get rid of these things that are just holding me down? And especially if we can get them connected to that of Christ, where he says, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. We are needing to learn from Christ the things that he wants us to do. We need to learn from God the things that God wants us to know and do and to follow to be one of his children. And so there's where we need to go first. We need to learn. We need to learn from who? The best. The best at knowing how to do this. Has anyone taken notice of some of the following? We're going to kind of walk through some of these things. And I think what I want to look at, and we may get through all this today and we may not, but I want to look at this in the areas of people struggling with sin. That's a burden. We try to talk to people out there regarding that of Christ and what Christ has for them. And even before you can sometimes even get it out, they might tell you, I have got so much stuff in my life. I have got so much sin. I don't think it's possible. Now we, those of us that have a relationship with Christ, we already know it's possible. We know what is possible because we are learning from him that we surrender these things. But we're going to look at also, what about the burden that the church, the burden that religious organizations put upon people to master and to meet their standards? Some of these religious organizations, they're not too concerned if you meet the standards of that of God. They feel like, okay, what we want you to do is meet our standards. And if you meet our standards, then you'll be achieving God's standards. And I think we know that's not always true. I think there's a lot of fallacy with that, because we find out that Jesus did not come for religion. He came for relationships. He came to have that relationship restored back to that of God the Father. And so Jesus came for relationships. He has nothing to do with religion. Religion is something that man has put on the radar screen of what we are to be as Christians, as followers of God, followers of Christ, whatever the case might be. But I'm probably not the only one. Have you yourself, have you seen people that have been burdened down with religious do's and don'ts? You know, back in the day of Jesus, the Jewish people were really good. They had hundreds and hundreds of laws. Didn't keep them all, did they? But they'd want you to keep them. That's where we have that word of hypocrite. You are nothing but hypocrites, trying to put these rules and regulations on these people that you yourself don't even maintain. And so I'm saddened to think that we have people, number one, and we're going to get some scriptures on these, just a scripture, one or two, to kind of touch on this. But we've got people that are burdened with sin that feels like nothing that they can do or even going to Christ will even help. We've got some people that they go, boy, I just can't measure up. Measure up to who? I just can't measure up to this denomination, this pastor, this group, these people. I just can't measure up. Why are you measuring up to them? We need to measure up to only one person. But he's given us a way that we can get that measurement in good grace with him because of what? Christ dying for our sins. So we'll look at a few scriptures on that about a person being weighted down with religious demands. We've seen some good people just go into a tailspin, I think, because they may not start it out that way, but all of a sudden they felt like they had to measure up. Got to measure up to my brothers and sisters in that religious area. The only one you need to measure up to is that of God. And God has made a way and has always got the same way. It's always going to be the same way to to that of Jesus Christ. What about the person that's carrying the baggage or the burden of that of like persecution or oppression? You know, we find that in our Christian circles, churches. We see people that are oppressed. We see people that are being persecuted. And that's a hard thing to do, but we are told that by that of Jesus that, you know, you're going to count it all joy when these things come upon you and they speak against you and they rear up and rise up things against you, because guess what? They did it to me too. And we read that and we think, wow, that's such a cute story in that New Testament. But what happens when it becomes real? So as we read the scriptures, as we take in the Word of God, we've got to realize it's not just a story book. It's just not a bedtime book to read to make you sleep well. And that, you know, for that, if I just wanted a book back in the days, it was like, I remember, you know, Little Red Riding Hood. I remember the Three Little Piggies. I remember these little stories and these books and things that I would read as a child. But as we get into that of the scriptures and what God is telling us, we've got to realize these are not just to have stories of, oh, well, that's so cute. We've got to realize they're there and they're true. And understanding that persecution is coming. Persecution will rise. Persecution even more so in the last days will come upon the church, come upon the people. The church, it'll come upon the church building, but it's really going to come upon who is the church? You folks, me. We are the church, filled with the Holy Spirit, the temple of God in us. And persecution is going to come upon you. Maybe it already has. Maybe you've already felt that. Mocking you. Teasing you. Making rude and crude comments about, oh, you're one of those. Oh, you really believe that. Oh, are you talking about the Holy Spirit? Are you wacko or whatever? So maybe we've had some of that persecution, but that's a burden. And as we are finding where Jesus is talking here, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle, I'm lowly in heart, and I will give you, and you, I should say, and you will find rest for your souls. As a Christian, you should be going through this time like, I'm at rest. I got situations in my family, a lot of upheaval and just moving and transitioning some kids. How that's all going to work out. But I got to be at rest. Because I'm going to tell you, when I wasn't at rest this past week, I started feeling like, you ever got that feeling in your stomach? Like what's going on here? I tell you what, when I worked at my secular job, I could understand having an ulcer there when you're working for the secular people and you got a lot of stuff out there in the world coming on you to say, you got to get this accomplished, you got to get this taken care of, you got to do it now, and we want it done by Friday. What? You know? But serving God, my goodness, I should just be like on, woo, just peace, joy, woo, having fun. But I said in the beginning, sometime back on some people, I said, but gosh, I'm still human. And so it takes work on my part to always maintain this and to realize that I'm not going to be oppressed. I'm not going to be pressed down. I'm not going to have things put upon me. I'm not going to allow the world to do these things to me, because that's what the world, the God of this world, wants to do. Satan, he wants to oppress us. He wants to give us depression, oppression, all of these things, because once we do those things, we become null and void for the kingdom work at hand. Because then, rather than helping spread the good news, instead of helping those that need the true help, we've got to take care of ourselves, and we've got to triage and triage and triage and triage so that we get ourselves strong and we feel like we're strong and we're going to go back out and boom, oppression or depression or something or persecution hits us and it might take us back. But we got to be strong, and we've got to understand that Jesus is there for us, for everyone. And then another area that we might look at, how about that person that's burdened down with trying to find the truth? They can even read the scriptures, but they debate themselves with the scriptures because it doesn't sound like it could be at all possible, because it does not. What did that Will Rogers or Will Robinson and all that on Lost in Space, that computer guy would say, does not compute, does not compute, does not compute. God's word to the normal human mind, guess what? It's hard to compute it all. Because it's like, on some hands, it's like, well, that's too easy. There's got to be more to it. And then on the other hand, sometimes we go, well, that's too hard. But it doesn't have to be that hard when we receive Christ and get the Holy Spirit. And God gives us these helps and these tools to work through this. And then a lot of it is just our trust and our faith into Him that it will turn out. It's going to turn out. And I'm going to say it's going to turn out for the good, even though when it turns out, I may not understand that good, but I'm going to trust my God because all good things come from Him. All blessings come from Him. And even though it doesn't turn out the way I wanted it, and it doesn't do that, I have got to be of that of faith to say, I still trust you, God. I don't understand it, but I still trust you. I'm not going to turn my back on it. I'm not going to turn my back on you. I'm not going to run from you. I'm not going to say, this is all just a bunch of lies. This is just all a bunch of guys putting words down, and it's not really God. It's just men putting things down. No. But sometimes a person grows weary searching for the truth, or even that of just searching for God Himself. They get weary of that. And there's a lot of things in it that cause that. So go to John 1:29. It's going to be just a couple of short little verses, and some it's just going to be, we're just going to look at one and just kind of look at that. I think it kind of gives us the focus that we need to look at. So here again, Jesus says, come to me all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Rest. When we get to that part to where, come to me all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke, it says here, for my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. In my scripture here in the New King James says, for my yoke is easy. When we talk about that word easy, denotes that which is useful, pleasant, good, comfortable, suitable, serviceable. For my yoke is easy. For my yoke is useful, it's pleasant, it's good, comfortable, suitable, it's serviceable. And then it goes on to say the legalistic religious system was a severe burden, but service to Jesus does not cause chaff because it is well fitted and built on personal relationships. And that's some of the things as you get into that understanding of a yoke. And I'm by no means raised on the farm and all, and some of you might know further understanding of it, but the yoke was used especially with cattle or oxen, and it was to put a team of one together, you know. You might have one yoke on one just to pull the thing, but when they put two, basically each one helped the other. You could do double work or triple work, you know, the power of two. But the yoke has to fit well, because if not, I'm sure it could probably cause abrasions and irritations. So it's got to be snug, it's got to be fitting, you know, and it'll do its job. So let's look at John 1:29. Remember, we talked about how this burden and some of these things that people are carrying within them could be they're struggling with sin. And that's the thing we've got to address, and we've got to get that taken care of first, because until you address that area of sin, I don't think you're going to go much further with Him or into what He has for you, because guess what? What's the square you're always going to go back to as you're making progress? Back to that area, because the enemy is going to bring up your past or your sin. But you got to realize that because of Jesus' blood, we just took communion today, didn't we? The cross, the blood on the cross, a new covenant washes, cleanses you as white as snow. But we'll always get to that level, and the devil would just love to burden you back down with your past sins. Past sins, not just necessarily 10 years ago, it could be 2 weeks ago, but when you did that and said that and you felt it wasn't right, you apologized, you received and said, Lord, forgive me of that sin. The blood of Jesus is still evident for that of today. But here it is. For that sin. John 1:29 says what? The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said what? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If man was putting this down without that of directed by God, I would probably would have put most of the sin, part of the sin, a little bit of the sin. But this is saying takes away the sin, all the sin of the world. Sin is this. When you look at this and the understanding of what is sin, sin literally means missing the mark, a failure, an offense, taking the wrong course, wrongdoing, guilt. So it can cover, you know, when we look at that sin, it's sin is we're missing the mark of what God has for us. To know to do right and not to do it is sin. When we've been made understanding of what the Word of God tells us to do or not to do, to be or not to be, when He's asked us to do things, we've just come off of a few weeks back of talking about obedience and obedience and hearing the Word of God and trusting it and obedience, and you're not being obedient, that is like that of witchcraft, you know? It gets all in these things that what we've got to get an understanding is we've got to come to a trueness walk and heart with God. But realize that He's not putting anything on you that you can't handle. The only reason why some of you can't handle it, it's because you still want to take care of it. You still want to control yourself. You can't do it, guys. You got to surrender. I surrender all. But when we have an attitude like, I can handle it, I'll deal with it on my time or my strength, and God, you got so much going on because you really need to help this guy over here because he really needs it, but I can handle it myself. Well, the hardest thing for a man to say, especially men, maybe women too, but women are maybe more apt to say it faster, is that a man, it's hard for a man to say, I need help. I can't do it. I know I was geared up as man, conquer, build fire, cook, find the brontosaurus and bring him back for a woman to cook, you know. But that all sounds well and good, but I tell you what, there's some things that I can't do. Or there's things that I've failed. I need help. I need someone else that can speak into my life. Or I need to go to someone else for some advice. Well, ultimately, we all want to go to God for that. But we find out that, man, we don't even want to go to God. He's our last resource. He's like that last thing. Remember on what was that? Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or whatever it was? And you had all these questions. And you had like, you know. Okay, you want to phone a friend? No, I want to take the basis of the audience. I'll go on what they think, you know? Well, 80% say this, 10% say that, 5% say that. Which one are you going to take? I'll take the 5%. No, you're going to go to the 80 percentile, you know? No, I want to phone a friend. We have a friend that we can phone through that of prayer. We just need to receive him. We just need to come to him. We need to go to him and say, oh, God, I need help. So that's that area of a person that is struggling with that of sin. Why are you struggling with sin, my friend? Well, there's nothing that can take it from me. I am just so sinful. I've just done so much in my life. The Lamb of God, Jesus, says here that takes away the sin. He takes away that missing the mark, that failure, that offense, that taking the wrong course. All of these things that you've done, my friend, Jesus came to take those from you. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The sacrificial language of John's declaration is taken from the Old Testament and it points to the universal scope of Christ's mission. Clearly, this was not an awareness that gradually dawned upon Jesus, but one that shaped his entire earthly ministry from the start. He was here for that purpose, to take away the sin. He didn't come to heal you. He didn't come to give you a good home. He didn't come to give you a nice car. He didn't come to take care of a job for you. He came initially into this world to do what? Take the sin away out of this world. To reclaim us, to reconcile us back to that of God. And now as we walk this walk with Him, oh, He's a loving God. Lord, I need a place to stay. Boom, here's a nice house. Wow, thank you, Lord. I need a job. Here's favor. Here's a job. Here's this. Oh, what a blessing. You can have a good house, a good home, a good job, a good car. You could have all kinds of toys. You could have everything in your life. But if you got sin in your life, you are miserable. You just don't know it yet. But there will be a time in your history of your life without Christ that you will all of a sudden hit that wall of where sin hits you. And it's like, what is going on? We have heard it too many times where people have all of those possessions. And they talk to them on a conversation. You've got all of this. You've got personal jet. You've got a yacht. You've got this. Your life is just so fulfilled. How are you feeling? Empty. Wow. Really? So does that kind of give us a clue, guys? That really what the Word of God says is true, that you can have all this stuff, but what's in here? The devil does a good job showing us what life looks to be so exciting and fulfilling. Wow. A mansion, two cars, a speedboat, a motorhome, three homes around the country, one in Vail, one in Hawaii. How you feeling? Empty. He has missed, or she has missed, the most important thing in their life, that void in their heart. They've covered it up with all of this earthly stuff. Whoops. But eventually all this earthly stuff, oh, it might have filled that, I felt at peace for just a short time. But when the rubber meets the road, they find out, I'm empty. I've heard people say, I'm lonely. You're lonely? You've got all this entourage of people around you. You've got fans screaming at you. No matter wherever you go, you've got these stars and singers. You know, they can't get out of the public eye. It's like, you know. And they go, I'm lonely. I can't find anybody. Because they're looking for someone that has a true understanding of they want them and want to be with them for just who they are, not for what they project to be. And that's what God does with us, with Christ. Christ wants to be with us. Lowly little us, you know. But he wants to come into our lives. He wants to, through him, to bring us into that relationship back to that of God. And so that's one of those things that, you know, come to me, you are heavy laden. Come to me, you are heavy laden with sin upon your shoulders and it's holding you down. Have you ever seen people walk when they're weighted down with the things of this life? Have you seen them in life? And you can almost look at them coming and they're like this. Like, oh my gosh, here comes Bob. What's going on? I've seen the opposite of that, where people come to a relationship with that of Jesus Christ. You meet them down the road a month or two later, you're not really around them all the time, but you come into their life again and they pass and you see Bob is looking different. Now Bob is walking like this. Hey Bob, what's going on? I found the answer. I was able to get rid of a lot of burden that was on my back. And I found it that through that of Jesus Christ. Hey, how's the cabin up north and the home down in Florida and the one at... I don't know. I got rid of them all because they really didn't amount to a whole lot. It was just stuff. I got to where it really was important and real. And it was serving my God. So, now, not saying he'll have you sell all your stuff, but I'm just saying... don't do that. But I'm just saying we end up here, we take a different look upon things. We turn from the view of the lens of the world to that of the kingdom and saying, oh, I love this. So anyway, that's one of those possible burdens that's upon us. How about that person that's weighted down? Ooh, a lot of religion. Ooh, before you come in here, you better be saved. Before you come down this ramp, you better be talking to the Lord and filled with the Holy Spirit, or you better make sure you're doing this or that, or you better make sure you're not smoking before you come in our door. You better make sure you, whatever, we put things out there. You better be you. If you want to fit into our religious order here, you better be cleaned up, ready to go to heaven. And if you're not, we'll point them all out to you. We'll say, you, Herbert, see me in the office after service. I mean, I've heard some sad stories where actually some people have been told to leave the church because they don't muster up to what that pastor or that board, that board that has the pastor, the board that rules the pastor. The pastor's only going to do whatever the board tells him to do if he's in a board-run if he's in the camp of the board, the board's going to say, "Pastor, have you noticed that guy and gal come in here? You know, they're not married and they're living together. What are you going to do about it?" "Well, what do you want me to do about it?" "And they're coming in our sanctuary in the confines of where God's at, living in sin. Now, what are you going to do about it, Pastor?" "Well, we'll teach them the Word of God." "And nope, 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 nope. We don't want them here." Do you think that goes into some churches and organizational things out there? I had a lady a couple of weeks back. I thought she would have been here. I was out here one morning. I heard a noise out in the front. It was in my office area, so I went out and opened the door. And she was down writing down information on the church. I go, "Can I help you, ma'am?" She went, "Well, this is God. This is God. You're at the right place." And all of a sudden, she jumped. Oh, she goes, "Ooh, scared me." I said, "I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. I just heard you were out here, and I thought I'd just, you know, say hi, if I can help you with something or talk about the church." So she looked at me, and she goes, "So what kind of church is this?" And I explained a little bit. Non-denominational. I kind of got into what non-denominational was. She goes, I know what a non-denominational is." "Oh, okay. Okay." So she goes, "So here's a question." She goes, "What happens if, what's your stand on like, you know, gays and lesbians?" I go, "Oh, Lord." This sounds like a loaded question. It's going to go somewhere here, Lord. Hell, I said, "We would love them just like any other sinner." "Oh, yeah. Well, what happens if they come in and they're living together and they come in and sit down in your congregation? What would happen?" I said, I've always wanted this to be like that of the compassion of Jesus. I said, "We will not deny lifestyles and things that are of sin to that of God." I said, "I would not marry same-sex people. I said, "That's totally against my beliefs and what I understand of that of God. But," I said, "they could come in. They could fellowship with us. They could come in." I said, "But you know what? We will not sway the message of the word. If I have a message about the moralities of things of our society and lesbians and gays and same-sex marriages is a sin in God's eyes," I said, "I will share that. But," I said, "it'll be in love because it's what God's word says." And she didn't fly out. So I don't know where she was coming from. I don't know if she had that relationship or she was just asking what kind of church we were. It was probably about a 15 or so minute, 20 minute. I had to go. I had to get to an appointment at noon, and it was like 11:25 or 11:35. And I said, "Oh," and she had to go pick up somebody down the road here. And anyway, I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, I really need to go and stop back by, call it, whatever, you know, have a good day." And so she pulled out. But, you know, we had a great conversation along those lines. And the Holy Spirit, and being led by the Holy Spirit, and things of that nature. So I don't know where that all leads. I don't know what that was. I don't know what that was. I don't know, guys. But just to have somebody pull up like that and just start quizzing you on that. Yes, I first felt like, okay, here we go. We may have protesters out here next Sunday. Nah, we're out in the country. They wouldn't waste their time. But you know what? You had to, but that's the thing, man. It's like sin. Jesus died for sin. And, you know, as we get into this religious part of demands, there's no way I could have said, "Well, before anybody comes to our church, we want to make sure that they're saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, and they're perfect people, perfect little people." Because on this side of heaven, even though you go to church and you got all that in you, I'm going to tell you, you probably ain't a perfect little person. There's something in you still, or something that'll jump out that week that you have to go and say, "Forgive me, Lord, forgive me." So let's look just a little thing here. I'm going to jump back to Matthew. So a person, here again, "Come to me, ye that are heavy and laden, and I will give you rest. I will take that burden. My yoke is light." Jesus says it's light. What he has is light for us. We put the weight on us. We try to measure up to other people. We try to measure up to whatever. That's what makes it burdensome. That's what makes us, I can't do this on my own. And then you go, there's part of your answer right there. That's right. You can't do it on your own. It's only by that of the help of God, through that of Christ, through that of the Holy Spirit that come into your life. But anyway, let's look at here. A person that has been weighted down with a lot of religious demands. Matthew 23:4. Oh boy. Whoa. Whoa to those scribes and Pharisees, huh? For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Then Jesus speaks to this multitude and to the disciples in verse 1, to the scribes and the Pharisees, saying this, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they say and do not do. Anybody been there? Anybody said something to somebody else that you don't do yourself? It's pretty easy to put other restrictions on people that you don't want to follow, you know? Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and they do not do. Verse 3. Verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear. And they lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. Jesus here in verse 4 is referring to their countless rules and regulations which reduced religion to a burdensome and a confusing system of ritual observances that kept people in perpetual bondage. Oh my goodness. Far be it from any one of us that would make people stay in perpetual bondage because we force issues on them to what we think they need to be before they come into where we are at. But I realize I have to remember where I was at before I came to Christ and how loving and caring and mercy and grace that he had for me. Even when I'd say the prayer and then a few weeks or months later I might renege on it and not really be a part of what I said I would do or get closer to him. Something came along and sidetracked me and then I realized I'm sidetracked. Come back to him. Oh, Father God, forgive me, Lord. Lord, help me, Lord. I need your strength. And when those times happened and when those times became evident to me, then I began to get a realization and a seriousness with that of God. And when all of a sudden in my spirit it clicked and it said, enough! This wasn't God saying this. This is my spirit or my personal inside saying, Tim, enough is enough, Tim, talking to me. I'm done playing with God. I'm going to get serious. We play with God a long time. He throws the ball to us. We hold it for a while. Gets a little difficult. We throw it back to him and we move on. We cry out to him. He throws the ball to us. We hold on to it for a while. Everything is good. Life is this. Life is that. Oh, okay. Hey, I'm doing okay, God. Here it is. Back at you. I did that many times in my life throughout my times with my job. And I always wanted to blame that what I had to do was because of my job. Anybody blaming that? You guys like to do the blame game? I love that because it takes a lot of that burden, supposedly, off of me. And puts it over there, but I really got that burden on me because I still got that burden. But in my life, there was some key things that happened, that developed, that I heard through the company that I was with at a meeting. When I heard some people that were higher up than little old me out in the district that were at the home office, and they were like the top five or six gentlemen of this corporation, when they said, it was important for me, if I can, to be back to my home on Wednesday so that I could attend my Wednesday night Bible study. I went, wow. Chief executive officers of this company? That was important to him? Vice presidents of operations? Their life with their church and those things with God are really evident in their lives, not just this company? When I sat in that meeting and I heard these guys say that, I said, oh, Tim, you fool. You can't blame because of my job. I really can't get close to you, God, because I'm just wore out on the weekends when I get home. I can't make it to Sunday morning. I'm usually gone through the week, and if I'm home on a Wednesday, I'm just tired. I don't want to go to a Wednesday night Bible study. Okay, I'll go on Sunday morning for an hour and a half. I at least talked to him about that. I felt good. Until I said, Lord, I feel so good. He says, why you feel good, Tim? Because I'm spending an hour and a half with you on Sunday mornings. Driving down the road. I've said this before, but I'm telling you guys, it's like he was right there in the car, right there talking to me because I'm talking to him. I'm feeling good, God. Yeah, why? Because I was at church Sunday, man. Didn't you see me? I was there. Fourth row back, third seat in, my whole family, you know. That church had like, I don't know, six rows or six chairs or seven, and by then we had, you know, four kids and ourselves, we had six. I said, Lord, that row was pretty full. There's only like one or two seats left. I feel good. Like I knew that I would. And then all of a sudden he says, well, that's great, Tim, but you know, don't you realize I'm with you always? I kept driving. I didn't hit nothing. I kept driving. Allowing the Word of God to come into my heart. To say, wow, pretty heavy, God. You are with me always, aren't you? You're with me and I don't even know it. You're with me. You protected me. You've been with me. You're with my family when I'm gone. You're always been there, God. Forgive me for having such a stinking attitude of I spent an hour and a half or an hour and 25 minutes on a Sunday and I am top-notch Christian ready. Oh, man. I wasn't close to being a Christian. I was just getting there. But remember, love, grace, mercy, tenderness, care, working with each of you, me, individually, with where we're at. All he wants is just say, give me a chance, Tim. Just keep coming to me, and I'll keep filling you with what I got. Keep coming when you got questions, and I will share what I want you to know. When, you know, and so then I said, I've got to get to them. And then I said, okay, I tried that deal with my bosses saying how important they were. They couldn't go to church. I went to church. God nailed me on that. I got to be at church Sunday night. I got to go Sunday nights now. That developed into a nice little routine, habit, takes a habit, get used to it. I love what was being taught. Bible study, teaching really comes, Sunday morning is not Bible study. Sunday morning is the message. Sunday night was a Bible study. Wednesday night was a Bible study. I started availing myself to those two times and then began to get more deeper into things of God. And it began to solidify. And then it's like, okay, God, I get this. I get this. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up real quick here. We're going to finish this area here about that weighted down with the religious demands. Remember how Matthew 23:4, they want to burden us down. Just jump over to Acts 15. Acts 15:10. When we go to this, and it says here, and this is just scriptures, you can read around it and all, but it says this, and it's talking about the Jerusalem Council conflict, and this was being a conflict over one of the rules and regulations, that of circumcision, okay? So, but it goes into this. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in that same manner as they. And then all the multitude kept silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul, declaring how many miracles and wonders God had worked through them among the Gentiles. But the key to that in Acts 15:10 was what? Why do you test God by putting a yoke on the necks or on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? It goes into respects here to add the law of Moses to faith as a test is to test God, because in effect it means that the sacrificial death of Christ was not quite enough to affect salvation. It's kind of like making a mockery of it. It's almost like a blasphemy type thing, to where you sit there and say, the death of Christ, his blood poured out, it wasn't enough. It just wasn't enough. You've got to keep all these statutes and all these laws and circumcision and all these things before any of this really comes to what it should be. And then lastly, and we'll end with this in Galatians 5:1. Remember, this is kind of talking about how the religious power, the religious weight, the demands that are weighted down on people. In Galatians 5, it talks about Christian liberty. So 5 starts off, 5:1, stand! Oh boy, stand! For therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us, what? Free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of what? Bondage. Stand in the liberty by which that of Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with that yoke of bondage. We could get into that even further if we'd like to, but we end up, he's going here, is about these covenants and things, and now we get into the Christian liberty, and we've got to be careful that we don't get ourselves back into bondage. We've seen people come out of bondage. Have you ever seen people come out of bondage, and before long, guess where they're at? They're back in bondage. It's putting things on themselves. It's hearing what they're saying. Somebody says, some teaching, some this, some that, or whatever the case is, then we put this on. Are we ourselves get back into a lifestyle that we came out of? We get back into that bondage. It's like when we come out of that lifestyle, do all you can to stay away from that lifestyle or that tradition of life that you had before Christ, and stay hooked up to him and stay connected to him. And when you feel in your system and your spirit or whatever that there's a draw to try to get me back to where I was, you know, if you're going to run from anything, don't run from God. Run from that of the world. Run back and more to that of God and keep running to him and turn your back. So many times we turn our back on God because we want the world, and we ought to do it the other way around. We need to turn, like that one talks, that song, the cross before me, the world behind me. We've got to get to where we're saying, I will always turn my back on the world, but I will never turn my back on my God. And you focus that way, and you stay that way, and you continue to progress that way, and you will have an abundant life. And you will not be carrying burdens and a yoke of all this weight upon you, because my Lord says his is easy and light. So anyway, that's enough for today. We'll pick up a little bit next week in regards to the persecution part of it. Also in the areas of looking at growing weary and searching for the truth. We always are searching. We want to look at a few areas too of, let's see, what do we do here? About what some of this rest is. When we talk about this rest that he has for us, come back. Come back and hear some more. I think it'll be helpful to us all, and look forward to it. But again, remember this. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke fits perfectly, and the burden I give you is light. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you for your message. I thank you for your truth. Lord, as we go through life, that we can dig out these nuggets, Lord, from your word, and look at our lives and look where we're at, and to understand, Father, how you are there for us. And the weight that I'm carrying, you will take from me. And so, Father, I pray that for each and every one of us here today, that we will walk that way, casting those cares upon you, that we will walk, Lord, with a lighter load, because we've given it all to you. And we're going to be receptive to you. We're going to be hearing from you. We're going to be obeying the things that you've asked us to do. But, Lord, I thank you. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.